أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. We will start tafsir of Surah Abasa inshallah wa ta'ala. Now we will go along with the ayahs, and whatever we have missed or did not cover in the summary, it will be covered and included inshallah wa ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Abasa wa tawalla. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam frowned and turned away. Imagine this. And this is one of those surahs which contain detailed description and whole scene has been created. Quran's temperament is not of a storytelling and not of too much of exaggeration either. It is of a guidance. In some scenarios, we feel like that we need more details of the situation, and without that, we will be unable to understand. Then, Abasa wa tawalla, since he was blind, he had no idea. So he had no idea what was going on inside. In Tafsir Mazhari, it is said that he was calling Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name again and again while standing outside. Moreover, there must have been something upon which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam frowned. As Aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so smiley, it was not part of his habit to frown. But the work Aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing at that time, it was because of the dedication with that particular work that he was bothered, and upon it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam frowned and turned away. If all of the detail was not told, if there was no tafsir, then how we would have known who frowned and who turned away? If this story was not told in the reason for the revelation of the surah, then how did we know who was Abasa and who was Watawalla? Umme Makhtum turned his face or Abu Jahl turned away? This is the beauty of the kalam. It should have been Abasa Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name. This is called respect manners. Whenever someone talk, weigh your words first. We are too careless in using words without thinking and too blunt sometimes. So we are taught manners of speaking here, that if someone has to be told something, then how to say it. Sometimes wrong ways of telling is used, even of a good thing. So here third person speech has been used. There was a person who turned away his face. If you have to point out something to anyone, never say you did it. Have some courage and say we do it. And that was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way, that whenever he used to see something while passing through, he used to discuss the same issue right after while standing on podium, and used to say ma balu aqwam, what happened to the people, what's wrong with people that they are arguing, fighting outside? What's wrong to the people that they raise their voices in the mosque? Do you think people were not aware whom it was told? It is not that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just beating around the bushes, but because of the manners. He could not say, oh Abu Jahl, you were fighting or arguing. So whoever we are trying to convey the message, whether our kids or anyone else, should not be said bluntly, but they should be told indirectly, so not to put them off. In our culture, it is very commonly said, tell it to your daughter, but it meant for the daughter-in-law. What are the implications in our culture? We are not discussing it. But in tabligh, in dawah, this style is very beautiful. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out, but did not take Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name. Whoever does not read or listen tafsir, they will just pass from here not knowing that what was the position of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam here. Ja'ahul a'ma, because there came to him the blind man, that is Abdullah bin Ibn Maktum, who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam while he was preaching to one or some of the Quraysh chiefs. Meaning, on such a small thing, he had unwelcome feelings or unwanted expressions on his face. Note here, expressions of the face are mentioned here by saying abasa, and by saying watawalla, body language is also told, but did not utter a single word out of his mouth. This is the point of training. Do not say anything in front of your kids. Otherwise, they will become immune after listening so often. Just give them that look. That should be enough to make them understand. A successful teacher or a mother is that not to tell the tall tale. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave everyone conscious, nafs al-lawwama, which understand it right away, that their tone is not right at that very moment. Then they will think themselves that I did something wrong here. Whoever talk less, then people around them become more sensitive. So Aap sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam didn't use any language, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't like his facial expressions either. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Anja'ahul a'ma," because there came to him the blind man, that is Abdullah bin Ibn Maktum, who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was preaching to one or some of the Quraysh chiefs. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ, and how can you know? لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى, that he might become pure from sins. First thing, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ, Aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know. One of the things meant is, Aap sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not know unless and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him. The other thing, by saying وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى, that your intention of that long talk is that they might rectify themselves. They might accept guidance, but they are not ready to accept guidance. In contrast, someone who came in search of it from that far deserves more to be paid attention to. Meaning, he is blind, after seeking religious guidance, would have done righteous deeds, his character and morals would have improved, his inner self would have beautified, and he would have benefited from your advice. So you should be happy from it, as it will benefit you too. Upon reading this, I'm feeling that there is a shopkeeper and is selling clothes, for example. He has many customers in front of him. One customer is not sure what to buy or not even serious about buying and is just wasting the time. While there is another customer who is serious in buying and do not have enough time to waste either. Now the shopkeeper is dealing with the non-serious customer rather than the serious buyer. What will you say to him? وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ, what's wrong with you? لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى, he might be the right customer, might be the right buyer. Now did you understand? So do not waste your genuine efforts at the wrong places. Your efforts should always be focused. If you dig a place where there is oil, only then it will be beneficial, right? So efforts put where there is no need will not only waste our time, but will also produce no results whatsoever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he might have taken guidance, or أَوْ يَذَكَّرُ, or that he might have received advice. Meaning, if the advice had not worked right away, even then he might have kept taking advices, and فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَ, and that the advice might profit him. The purpose is same. Meaning, you should give him more time in comparison to the others. Then, أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى, as for him who thinks himself self-sufficient, Now, who were these people? These were the ones sitting with Prophet of Allah at that time, whose hearts were empty of iman, who have no desire or urge or interest for it either. فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصْوَدَّ. To him you attend, meaning, who does not want to listen what you have to say? You give a lot of attention to him. Although we know that your intention for giving him attention is to purify him, but وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. What does it matter to you if he will not become pure from disbelief? You are only a messenger. Your duty is to convey the message of Allah. Meaning a very deep thought in these three ayahs, that your job is to do da'wah, to convey. Yet you leave the mukhlisin, the sincere people, and pay attention to mu'ridin, the ones who always object, criticize and reject. Mukhlisin are those sincere people who seriously want it, and mu'ridin are those who turn away from haq. This is not right. Your job is just to convey, just to do da'wah. So no need for wasting your time on kuffar. There also another deep thought in it. We will understand that inshallah. Some say that at that time Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam's chacha was also there, who did not accept Islam till then. So by man, it is pointing towards him. Abdullah bin Umay Maktoum used to come very frequently to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was very easy to reach, and he could have talked to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam any other time. And thirdly, his question was not of urgent nature. So whatever he was thinking could have asked later. It was not important to be addressed right away. The thing that will always help you in your life is see that which things need immediate attention, which things need urgent attention. Sometimes you are in a big meeting and your coordinator wants 3 seconds of your time and you not give them that time. What will happen? There will be a big loss. Or you are in a meeting, although your phone is on silent mode, and you see one of the familiar number of your friend who does not call just because. Moreover, she also knew you will be in a meeting and you are not to be disturbed. Then at that point, what will you think? You will think there is something wrong that she called at this time, right? So you will excuse yourself for that call and will attend it. There is nothing wrong in it. So we will also just overlook or ignore or put on pending list to the unimportant things and will not waste our precious time on these things too. Coming of Umm Maktoum, him asking a question was not of a management issue. It was not something that if not paid attention to would have caused Muslim Ummah any serious setback. But it was his personal issue, his individual issue. Whereas doing dawah with 6 and 7 high status leaders was a collective issue, a corporate issue. While dealing collective issues, individual issues needed to be overlooked. Another thing in it is that after وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى, then repeating the same thing again tells us that when someone talks to anybody in regards to deen, then urge and desire should be yazakka, ya aw yazakkara. See, one word is yazakka and the other is yazakkara. Is there any difference? Yes, a big difference. Yazakka is he should be purified, the purification. And yazakkara is he takes advice. The first steps is of yazakkara, to take advice. And upon taking constant advices, gradually he is purified. Right after, it was said, فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَ. Such a beautiful combination of these three words. ذِكْرَ means mentioning excessively, repeatedly. Meaning if you tell them not once but repeatedly, even then they will listen happily. But the one sitting, if they left without listening, they will not come back. Paraphrases pointed at one thing, that coming of both words, one after another, first yazakka, then yazakkara. Let's understand this. Yazakka is the amal of the righteous and God-fearing. When someone is at very high status, whoever purify their nafs from evil desires, who have harnessed their evil thoughts, they reach at yazakka level. And the other word, yazakkara, is of beginner level. You can say the journey starts from yazakkara and finishes at yazakka. This does not happen overnight. In the beginning, if someone only listens, even then, it is a very big thing. Gradually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fear, His greatness increases in his heart. Another worth mentioning point is that word aw is used, meaning or. Why was it said like this? It could have been this way too. لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّ وَيَذَّكَّرُ. That he might become pure from sins and that he might receive advice. Clear? So he can be pure and take advice too. But instead said, either he becomes pure or take advice. This is also a beautiful point, that it could be one out of the two. If both happen, alhamdulillah. But both can't be achieved, then if one could be achieved, that will be sufficient also. One more principle is derived from it is that the incoming person was a Muslim and the one sitting were non-Muslims. Normally we can't prefer non-Muslims over Muslims. But if someone is in this type of situation, then the urge to do dawah is to non-Muslims so they can enter in Islam should be greater than the training of Muslims. Then وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى. But as to him who came to you running, who? أُمِّ مَكْتُوم. وَهُوَ يَخْشَى. And is afraid of Allah and His punishment. Note this, came running because of the urge, desire and need. After putting so many things on pending list, left so many responsibilities behind, but didn't leave khashyat behind. وَهُوَ يَخْشَى. And he is fearing too. Fear of who and what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fear of his punishment. We discussed this earlier, that just by coming fast or just by listening or just by sitting in Quranic gathering will not be enough. But if khashyat is carrying along, then it will serve the purpose. If while explaining you guys neither I exercise khashyat nor I give you that vibe, then you will be happy that we completed another lesson. So not having khashyat in Quranic gathering is to strip oneself from the real purpose of learning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, until they have fear of me, they will not be able to benefit from it no matter what you tell them. Neither they will adopt what you tell them, nor they will do it. فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَا. Of him you are neglectful and divert your attention to another. تَلَهَا is the same word in other surah, أَلْحَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. It also comes in Quran, يُلْهِيهِمُ الْعَمَلُ. What do we recite in the beginning eyes of Juz 21st? وَيُلْهِيهِمُ الْعَمَلُ. It is used for to divert someone from important thing to unimportant one. Here it meant the same, that you are overlooking him. كَلَّا. Nay, do not like this. It is not the right way. إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَةٌ. Indeed it, this Quran is an advice. Whatever you are trying to make them listen, it is the thing of advice. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَهُ. So whoever wills,
Let him pay attention to it. Not everyone will take it. Yes, it is a thing of advice, but just paying attention to these in leads and the ones who just turn themselves away from that advice is not correct. You just laid this book in front of them, and if they didn't take benefit from it, then it is their wish, their choice. فَمَن شَاءَ ذَكَرَهُ. So whoever wants can take advice from it. And if someone wants to take, then Allah will definitely give them. If they will desire, then Allah will put more barakah in it. Whoever takes advice from it, memorize it, act upon whatever is told, will be granted that advice. And whoever turns away or show bleakness, the way leaders of Quraysh did, then there is absolutely no need to worry about them. Where is it? فِي سُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةٍ. It is in records held greatly in honor in Lohi Mahfuz. مُكَرَّمَةٍ, greatly honored. سُحُفٍ is the plural of sahifa, meaning Lohi Mahfuz, because Quran comes down from there. Do you know there are two stages of Quranic revelation? One from Lohi Mahfuz to the worldly sky, and second is from there to the heart of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. First step was done in one take. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gathered all the things and put in Lohi Mahfuz before creating the world. It arrived at the worldly sky from Lohi Mahfuz, but from worldly sky to the heart of Prophet Wasallam, it took 23 years. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, it is full of advices and hikmah. مَرْفُوعَةٍ مُطَهَّرَةٍ. Exalted in dignity, purified, meaning the angels who write or where the original copies of Quran is kept, that is very high. مَرْفُوعَةٍ means it is with Allah, it is Rafi'ul Qadr, up very high. Free of any doubts, free of any faults, both meanings. One of the Rafat is obviously high, like if you make someone sit at a higher place, and another Rafat is for respect. So both meanings are meant here, that it is pure and free of any doubts and faults. Mutahara is absolutely pure because nobody touches it except pure angels. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Waqiyah, Ayah 79, La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun, which that book with Allah none can touch but the purified, that is the angels. Here it is about the original copy of Quran is mentioned. Then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَةٍ, in the hands of scribes, angels, which are كِرَامٍ بَرَرَةٍ, honorable and obedient. The word safara, understand this. By بِأَيْدِي, you understood its meaning, in hands. And safara is opening. Its word-to-word meaning is to open. But here by safara, angels are meant. Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites Quran and he is expert in it, then he will be with safaratul kiramul barara, the angels whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call kiramim barara. Good reciters of Quran will be with them. So it is a glad tiding for all those who recite beautifully with proper tajweed and makharij, as they will be with honorable angels. And we should be wishing to recite Quran in a beautiful manner so we could be with such righteous angels. In contrast, whoever struggles in reciting good does not have the same accent the way experts exhibit. It was said about them that they will earn double the reward. First one was granted good company, while others were granted double the reward. And it is a narration from Bukhari. So do not think this book as something small or average. Whoever does not want to take it, then do not desire to give him. Just leave them if they do not want to take it. If they do not accept it or acknowledge it, then it is not a big deal. You are not liable for them accepting Islam or not accepting Islam. Then since word mutahhara is used for Quran, so sexually impure person is forbidden to touch it. In a narration, it is mentioned that everyone can recite Quran except a sexually impure person. Prophet ﷺ never used to recite Quran in the state of sexual impurity. Same way, touching Quran in the state of menses, periods, is also not allowed. So this is Quran's quality. From here, remember this, that we have to respect and honor this Quran of ours. When it is read more often, then we tend to put everywhere, causing it to get stained. We have to respect it, right? The word safir, it is from the same word safara, meaning the writer. You must have heard about kiraman katibin. Some say that these are the angels who write wahi of anbiya. And if we take safaratin as safir, ambassador, then it meant rusulul malaikatu, meaning Jibrail alayhi salam, anbiya alayhi salam, and people who write the wahi, meaning one word had multiple meanings, that they all are ambassadors of Quran. They connect people to Allah's book, meaning any person who becomes a source to teach or connect others to Quran is an ambassador. Such a big honor. If a person takes it upon himself and then think, so it is a responsibility of each one of us to consider Quran the greatest, believe on it. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding humans that who are they in reality? And this style you will see at several places in Quran. When people do not respect the book, they do not appreciate the Prophet, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell them to look at yourself. Who are you? We also understand by this that whoever denies Quran and the Prophet, they are arrogant. They consider themselves above all, consider themselves extra wise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, have you ever looked upon yourself? Who are you? And the style adopted here is that when we see someone doing a wrong thing, we tell them, what's wrong with you? And what was said in Arabic? قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. Be cursed, the disbelieving man, how ungrateful he is. First understand it hereby, al-insanu means kafir, a disbeliever. By using word al-insanu, a disbeliever of Quran is meant here. And qutila is a curse to the disbelievers. مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ. From what thing did he create him? Min nutfatin, from nutfa, male and female semen drops. خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ. He created him and then set him in due proportion. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَهُ. Then he makes the path easy for him. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Then he caused him to die and puts him in his grave. See, in five ayahs of few words each, the actual reality of a man from the nutfa to the grave is told. Who can compete with this book? This is our story, consists of five words only. Whoever came in this world and did not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then here we are told in these ayahs. See, this is he who without any proof, without any evidence, denies the Day of Judgment. Ma akfarah has been used in the surprised context. Strange. What he is saying, how grateful is he, is meant here. Then he is invited to ponder that think, you are born with a drop of such water. So does arrogance suits you? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, and then he said, خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ.
and then set him in due proportion, meaning made his hands the way they should be, eyes at their appropriate place, two hands, two feet, made all the body parts in proportion. This is فَقَدَّرَهُ, everything in proportion. Then ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَهُ, then he makes the path easy for him. Now let's see its tafasir. Which was this path that had been made easy? If you are seeing the sequence of the ayahs, then you will see that the path to come in this world was made easy, pointing towards the delivery process. Wallahi, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have asked people that how a child should be born and the option we have for the delivery, if this was presented then, everyone would have said it is impossible. How is it possible? It is beyond the imagination. But you see, when a child comes to this world, then how all the paths are opened and made easy for that child to enter the world. Mother is going through the roughest time of her life and she wants the whole experience to be over as soon as it can. But the doctors will tell her that the path is not made yet. This is ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَهُ. Extreme pain for the mother. Child under distress. A continuous fight goes on till the child is delivered safe and sound. We were sent with a lesson that the path to enter this world is very difficult. We are told further that man was sent with difficulty. This world is not bed of roses. During birth, child was given a hidden message that since you are entering into this world, you have to work here to struggle. If the child does not struggle at that time, then the child cannot be born. Now see, there could have been many other ways to how a child could have been born, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the impossible into possible. Allah is asking, see from where you entered this world and you show arrogance? Does it even suits you? See, made out of money, made out of disgusting, insignificant thing, the worst part of the body became the source of him coming out into this world. And then he displays arrogance. So true it is. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. See, if child was born through head, then arrogance would have suited him, that he is born through head. In Hinduism, it is a myth that the Brahmins were born from the Bhagwan's head, whereas the Shuds were born from his feet. You can say whatever you want to, but the reality is everyone came in this world from the same passage. Even every prophet came from the same passage, and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates ease for everyone. Then another meaning of ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَهُ is that the passage of khair and shar was made clear for him. How he will conduct his living, how he will live in this world. Life was a blessing, but death, ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ, then he causes him to die. فَأَقْبَرَهُ, and puts him in his grave. What's so big about it? We do not wish to die and go to grave. But you see, even here, such a beautiful law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There comes a stage on man due to illness or old age that he becomes someone people feel pity upon, a pathetic soul. Relatives do take care of him and secretly do dua that may Allah have mercy on him. Sometimes a person is even unable to take care of his human needs too and have to relieve himself on bed as they become bedridden. What a condition a person gets into, especially if a person is suffering from terminally illnesses or incurable diseases and people feel pity on them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say thank you to this earth for أَقْبَرَهُ. With what respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let the person bury, whether old or young, righteous or a sinner, Everyone is buried in a respectful and dignified manner. The moment he passes away, just close his eyes, then cover his face so no one can witness the changing condition of his face. Then give him bath with very soft and loving hands. Water with moderate temperature. Add berry leaves in the water and put kafur fragrance on him. Press his stomach and before put on gloves. So fa'aqbarah is giving respect. Then with what respect and love he is put on his shrouds. Then he is taken to the eternal home on shoulders with respect and honor. So many people do Salatul Janaza for him, and with love and broken hearts, he is laid into grave. Just think, if it would have been that the moment someone would have been dead, just toss them into the trash can, the way animals are tossed. Then whichever animal wants to eat them, they smell, their body rot. Was that respect? Mauling of the body is haram in Islam. That is chopping off the dead body in pieces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, did you ever ponder over it? O man, I gave you so much respect that I kept your secrets hidden even after your death. And it is told that if you see any flaw or defect in a dead person, make sure do not mention it later. There shouldn't be too many people to give bath to the dead. Only couple are enough. Such a big thing. We pass our own comments after seeing the face. So it is better to see those faces when they are alive. But it is so sad that those who do not see each other for petty differences among themselves, but they do show up after their death and ask forgiveness from the dead body, do see each other during your life. There are different angles to it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ. Then when it is His will, He will resurrect him again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us respect each other. May we respect our Quran and may we live and die according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments. Ameen. ثُمَّ آمِين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.